The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
This is my second greeting to somebody on Israeli soil. Hello, Rolien.
Hello, Chad. I heard you spoke to a very good friend of ours.
I did, because nobody, not one of our listeners, wanted to let me into this little secret club they've got revolving around Wordle. I asked so nicely, will somebody tell me what Wordle is? And I got messages about songs, I got messages about competitions, but not one person reached out. I asked Senna, and I think she was deliberately confusing so that she could also keep me out the club. And I thought, you know what? Howard's going to explain it. And he did.
I tell you what it is. It's addictive. And I love it, and I look forward to playing it every day.
Well, I'm going to give it a go. I hope it's not as addictive, because I'm sometimes exceptionally competitive, and it sounds to me like Hangman on steroids. But conversation for another day. I'll tell you once I've tried it out how it goes. And yeah, let's move on to what's happening in Israel. Sadly, there seems to have been another attempted terror attack earlier today. What happened?
Well, this particular terror attack was thwarted very, very quickly. A man with a knife looked very, very suspicious. This was in the southern town of Ashkelon, and he started to charge towards a policeman who took out his gun, who neutralized him very, very quickly. It subsequently was found out this was a 40-year-old man from the city of Hebron in the West Bank, and tried to carry out yet another terror attack. And one of our officials was quoted in the media yesterday saying the IDF are stopping at least two major terror attacks a day. And earlier today, the IDF announced that they would be rolling out extra battalions along the security fence. Some of the attackers that have managed to get into Israel and carry out terror attacks have come through holes in the security fence. So now a big budget allocation has been given to making sure that we beef up security there, and that will now be strengthened with yet another IDF battalion.
So this wave of terror has been going on for several weeks, and we know that there's normally an uptake during Ramadan. Is there any other factor that could be contributing towards this increase in violence?
Well, I think it's important we look at them, because I think it's very dangerous if we just look at one factor, and that being Ramadan, because it runs the danger of painting an entire community as being aggressive. And I really don't want to do that, because this is only a specific sector of society. But I think we also have to look at other factors. You know, the Palestinians, and in particular ideologues within the Palestinians, are very, very used to dominating the news headlines. They're very used to a certain amount of focus on what they see is their fight of resistance. Now, in the last 2 years, that has started to wane dramatically. Israel signing the Abraham Accords with our regional partners, the United Arab Emirates, with Bahrain, the ties between Jordan and Egypt and Israel, which have already been in existence for several decades, getting warmer, more accords with Morocco. We're starting to see rapprochement with the Saudis. In fact, I've seen quite a phenomenal trend on Twitter, which is a lot of Saudis taking to social media saying, "I support Israel," which is language that's inconceivable. When I see this, I always have to rub my eyes and think to myself, wait, what? Am I seeing this? But yes, I am. I'm starting to see a lot more people from the Arab world, including our friends, the Emiratis, coming out, condemning terror, asking very, very important questions of the Palestinians, such as, where is all the money that we send you? We heard from a Kuwaiti editor of the Arab Times just a couple of months ago coming out and saying, you know, enough is enough. We've supported the Palestinian cause for long enough. We've given a lot of money. All that we've received in responses, their support for our enemies, the Iranians, the Houthis, the terror elements, and it's time for us to look to normalizing ties with Israel. Today, another extraordinary op-ed written by the Emirati ambassador to the Vatican, saying that the most brave thing for the Emirates to have done in their history is to recognize the state of Israel and to make these overtures towards the Jewish people. And he went on to say, he said, the Israelis were prepared for peace. We haven't been prepared for peace. So now we have to make every effort to reach out to our Israeli counterparts. So I think there's an irritation with that, you know, the region is turning towards peace talks, towards rapprochement, towards alliances forming against Iran. And we can't ignore the massive coverage, and rightly so, of Ukraine in the global media. And that has taken up everybody's attention to the point where we have seen many in the anti-Israel establishment saying, you know, everybody's focusing on Ukraine and not on Palestinians. Well, I think that this is the state of the world right now, and you can't dominate the headlines all the time. You have to make way for other people and their issues.
Moving on, Amnesty International, there seems to be a lot of controversy regarding a report that they released in February accusing Israel of practicing apartheid. They've been warned by members of Congress about their comments, and we've now seen that Republican senators have also entered the fray. What are the intentions of these senators, and is Amnesty International itself under investigation for some kind of institutionalized racism?
Well, this is quite extraordinary. Just a couple of weeks ago, we saw Democratic members of Congress send a letter to Amnesty International cautioning them against their report, saying that it is anti-Semitic. They would not stand for an attack on America's ally, Israel, and that it will only lead to increased anti-Semitism. And they also lambasted the Amnesty International USA office's executive director, Paul O'Brien, for his comments, saying that, you know, in his opinion and his belief, and actually the words he used was gut instinct, Israel shouldn't be the state for Jewish people. And that in his gut instinct tells him that all the American Jews want is a safe place for Jews. And based him on that, telling him his comments were repugnant. Now we have from the Republican Party two senators who are drafting a bill that will prohibit Amnesty International from receiving taxpayer-funded federal assistance and benefits from the United States government. And it's written in the law, it is that the report seeks to disseminate false anti-Semitic reports attacking Israel, America's strongest ally in the Middle East, and Amnesty International has proven itself to be a sham of a human rights organization that perpetuates anti-Semitic propaganda and refuses to hold the world's dangerous and genocidal regimes accountable, like China, Iran, Russia, and Venezuela. They also mention Paul O'Brien. And what is very interesting is that if we look at the United Kingdom, where their head office is situated, that office is under investigation for institutionalized racism, following allegations of racism and a toxic culture. And these allegations have been put forward by former staff and board members. And the independent investigation or investigators have said they are calling for improvements, but they are escalating the investigation into yet another phase. So it's quite ironic that this once venerated human rights organization that is making these very grand statements against the state of Israel is now under investigation themselves for institutionalized racism, and under caution by lawmakers on both sides of bipartisan for their comments and for their report.
Rolene, as always, thank you so much for joining us today. I look forward to our conversation tomorrow. We didn't get to cover all the topics, so we're going to cross to you a little bit earlier tomorrow so that we can cover the last topic today, which is a very interestingly named cabinet minister from Israel that visited Kosovo. I look forward to chatting tomorrow.